Welcome back. We are now here for episode 3 of the Gridiron Pulse. Cole Aycock, and of course I'm here with my guy, my co-host, Jacob Walters. Jacob, they say third time's a charm, and we're on episode 3. How are you feeling today, and are you ready for this conversation we're about to have? Because after that offensive conversation we had in episode 2, it's got me ready to talk some defense.
Me too, man. Yeah, they do say third time's a charm, and I've always been a defensive guy for the majority of my football career. So, yes, I'm definitely excited for this one.
Sweet. Well, honestly, dude, I'm ready for it. So, well, as we said last time, we're going to do exactly what we did with the offense. Jacob's going to put up a Excel document, Google Sheet, whatever it is, and we're just going to run through this defensive depth chart. Again, these are subject to change because at the end of it, it's spring, and there are portal acquisitions to be made more than likely. But at least for now, for the time being, the base, what our roster is now, run through the players, run through what we're trying to look for them to improve upon in this season. And, you know, overall, exactly what the offense. And of course, this University of Georgia, and this is what we hang our hat on. So I'm ready, Jacob. If you want to go ahead and pull that up, we can get right into it.
Absolutely. Let's do it.
Let's go.
And like Cole said, a lot of these are going to be subject to change with injuries and just the amount that UGA rotates in at each position. So here we go. We're going to start off with the big uglies. We're going to go nose tackle with Xavier McLeod, the transfer in from South Carolina last, was it spring window? I believe he was a spring window transfer last.
Yes, I believe he was a spring window.
So he's going to be what looks like to be our nose tackle one right off the rip. I've heard a lot of good stuff about him this spring. He's been putting in a lot of good work, and he is going to be that surefire starter, just that big. His nose tackle is really more of a run plugger, run stuffer, as opposed to defensive tackle, which would play in a three technique, which is inside shoulder of the guard. So those are going to be more of your pass rushing defensive tackle, a little bit leaner of a body type. But over here with Xavier McLeod, what's going to be your take on him?
I mean, McLeod, I am looking for him to really take that step forward because, like you said, he was a late addition that spring window. And really, it was just about him almost as like a freshman. He's coming from South Carolina to Georgia. As we both know, there's a lot to learn when it comes to the difference between, no disrespect, from South Carolina to Georgia. The way that you practice, the way that you carry yourself, the way that the coaching staff operates. I mean, we know Shane Beamer. He likes the TikTok. Maybe doing some TikToks over there at South Carolina. Kirby Smart, I don't really know how much he is on TikTok. So not going to be really making those videos. Although I will say, some of those videos that Shane Beamer does make are pretty entertaining. I will say.
No, they're honestly kind of funny.
They are pretty funny, to be honest. Oh, but I will say, though, the hide and – do you remember the hide and seek that they did as a team?
Yeah. Yeah.
I got to draw the line. I got to draw the line somewhere. Yeah, like I'm all for team bonding and doing all that, but are we 10 years old? You know what I mean?
Right.
So, sorry, I just went on a random South Carolina tangent, but it's going to be about him really coming into his own with this defense. And I look for him, again, alongside Kristen Miller, which Kristen Miller, last year, he really broke out for us because coming into last year, there was a lot of, is this D-line going to be the Georges of the past? Like, who is going to be that guy for us? And also another thing, the defensive line and the conversation around it has almost gotten to the parallels between the Brock Bowers conversation where everyone's like, well, that tight end's no Brock Bowers, but like they don't have Brock Bowers anymore, where they reference that 2021 D-line and they say, well, they don't have those guys anymore. And hey, newsflash, in this day and age with the portal, NIL, Georgia might not ever get a defensive line of just that stacked talent ever again. So we just need to get in that mindset. But at the end of the day, that does not mean that this defensive line cannot be stout and to the standard that we need them to be an elite defense.
Exactly. I mean, if you're trying to compare everyone to Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter, so you're gonna find a lot of holes in the roster. But fortunately, they're only one of those types of defensive linemen, and they're already in the NFL making a nice career for themselves. But I do believe these guys are going to they're going to be able to pick up at least some of the slack that we were looking for more so last year. And then behind Xavier McLeod, we got three young guys, Jordan Thomas, Nasir Johnson, and Nnamdi Agbogbo. Everything that I've read has been they're all splitting snaps pretty evenly this spring. There's three young guys trying to cement themselves into that nose tackle two role, which is going to get a lot of playing time. Regardless, I believe all three of these guys are going to play quite a bit in G-Day, yes, of course, but also in this upcoming season.
Hey, Jacob, I'm just going to say I got to give you credit. You got Nnamdi Agbogbo right first off rip.
Not terrible with names. There's a bunch of stuff I'm not good at, but I feel like if I hear the name a couple times and get the spelling correct, you can kind of sound it out, you know?
I would still lean on the side that you got Colter Ginn's name wrong, but again, we're not going to touch on that again. There's different interpretation of how you say a name, but yeah, again, this defensive line, they're your veterans, the Kristen Millers, and even the Jordan Hall, who hasn't played a whole lot, but at this point, he is a veteran. And then you got your Jordan Thomases, your Nasir Johnsons, who are those young guys that are going to have to fill in and plug those gaps. Because as we know, like the receivers, even more so the D line, we rotate like
Oh,
this.
yeah.
It's like a conveyor belt of just defensive linemen coming in and out of the game. And right there, speaking of the young guys and speaking of that 2021 Georgia D line, there's one guy in this D line room where we are constantly hearing that if there was someone who could mold into that 2021 D line of just pure domination, no one will ever be able to block them. That's Elijah Griffin.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, he was the number one defensive player in the whole class of 2025.
I believe
Depending
so.
on depending on what site you looked at,
Right.
I mean, he is just, I don't know his exact measurables, but
Huge.
yeah, big. That's all, a big, athletic, strong. He's gonna be a dude. Like, there's no doubt about it. And he's gonna be a problem this year. I think at least in the beginning of the season, he's gonna find his footing, but then later in the year, he's gonna have a game where he breaks out and they're going to be like, and that's another, wait, is that a true freshman? They're going to be like, true freshman, like Georgia did it again. They got another dude. And then another guy that I'm very intrigued by, this JJ Hane.
Your guess is as good as mine. Yep.
Again, don't know the name, but
Haney, Hane.
Hane,
He's
I'm just
from
going to call him.
Germany, so I don't necessarily know what that means in pronunciation, but
Oh, exactly. And I was just about to bring that up. So this guy is a very interesting recruit, a guy from Germany. I don't know like what program they have over there that like gets this guy to America from Germany
right.
and how this body type is even produced in Germany. But somehow, I mean, whenever I see a guy from overseas that Georgia wants, I'm immediately going to think, okay, there's something there. Like, we see something. And he was seen as almost that Jaw Jackson type of, hey, raw, gonna take a couple years, maybe a year or two to mold into what we think he could potentially be. But the buzz around the spring is that this guy has, he just plays with his hair on fire. He has a high motor, and the technical stuff is still getting rounded out. But once this guy kind of refines that more technical aspect of exactly how to plug gaps, rush the passer, do all that stuff, he's going to be another like athletic freak, and I'm
Yep.
excited about that.
Absolutely. Yeah, these guys behind Christian Miller, since Christian Miller's out this spring with a shoulder injury, I believe he tore his labrum toward the end of last year. So Jordan Hall, Elijah Griffin, and JJ Hane, they're all going to get a ton of reps. And as you mentioned before, this is Jordan Hall's first spring practice that he's actually been healthy for. So getting him just not necessarily acclimated to being there because he has been there, but like reacclimated after injury, just in the best shape that he can possibly be in. He's going to be a real difference maker for us this fall. Someone that I'm looking forward to looking out for in G Day. And I
Oh,
know you talked
yes.
about Elijah Griffin too. He's going to be an absolute freak. I think he's going to get some early snaps, just very similar to Joseph Jonah Junior did last year. I think we pointed him out playing in the Clemson game week one. I would not be surprised if Elijah Griffin finds the field in week one.
Yes, and to go back on Jordan Hall, this is a guy where not a lot of people in the college football space, when they're thinking of Georgia and they're thinking of what they can be, I don't think this is a guy that is on their radar. But at the end of the day, this guy is another highly touted, highly rated defensive lineman that has every tool in the toolbox to be a great player. It's just been about injuries. It's going to be another guy where he's just going to, I believe at least, he's going to start making plays during this season, and people are going to be like, where the heck did this guy come from, and how did they just get this other guy? Call him Big Baby, Jordan Big Baby Hall.
Baby.
He's going to be doing some stuff this year.
Absolutely. Also, don't necessarily know too much about J.J. Hane or Haney, however you say it. But like you were saying, when we find a guy overseas and we heavily recruit him to come to the University of Georgia, it's probably going to work out for him, hopefully. I mean, it's got to be in one of those programs similar to like what Brett Thorson had, like the Kicking Academy, something like that, to just get him noticed by American schools, especially schools like Georgia. But I think he was a late add-on to our recruiting class last year, but I've heard good things, just coming in, head down, just working hard, and kind of just taking everything as he can. Some people like to say drinking from a fire hose, but I mean, if he ends up doing that and getting enough water, I think he's going to turn out really well.
Yeah. And right then and there, like as we're talking about this defensive line room, even before this show, I wasn't too sure how much I was going to have. But then when I see these names on this depth chart and I talk about them, I immediately am reminded, holy crap, we're still the University of Georgia. We still have dudes on this defensive line.
And only four and five stars.
Yes, exactly. And you just forget about that when you're so... Again, I don't want to sound like an elitist or like, oh, we're Georgia and we just have all this and we're so much better. But like, I'm just being real, you know, like we just have more talent than a bunch of other teams. And when I look at this, it's exciting to look at.
I agree. Moving on here, we have defensive end and Jack linebacker, which is it's going to be your traditional pass rusher, just kind of linked in together because they're both going to be edges. Just with Georgia running the 4-2-5 mint defense, it's going to leave a little bit of ambiguity between like who's actually playing which position. So some of these are added on to both positions, and that's why I just kind of lumped everyone together. But more traditionally speaking, your strict defensive ends are going to be a little bit bigger, but I mean, there's really not too much differentiation between both positions.
Yes.
So starting on with two that we know, if Georgia was healthy today and they had to play a game this Saturday, Gabe Harris and Quintavious Johnson would be starting at defensive end and Jack. So what are we looking forward to with old Gabe Harris here?
Gabe Harris, he from Valdosta, if I'm not mistaken, which we know Valdosta, similar to Milton, essentially a college program. They produce guys. Football is very important there, like it is in the state of Georgia. I remember when we recruited him, and I was so excited. I mean, most recruits I am excited about, but this guy more so than a lot of them, because the early indications from his time in the spring and when he was getting acclimated to Georgia is that he has improved so much just as a, I don't want to say effort, but just his overall motor and his just go get it type of mentality, which we need that. We need guys that are dogs. And this Gabe Harris guy, he seems to be in that mold of he's, once again, kind of like I said with J.J. Hane, how he just plays with his hair on fire, and it's all about reining that in to just become that more overall well-rounded player. And again, when we were talking about those edge rushers, once again, Gabe Harris is going to be a guy where I guarantee you he's going to be so much better than what his stats indicate. Because I guarantee you, breaking news, he's not going to have 8 sacks. He'll probably have 3, 3.5, if I had to guess. And he's going to be a guy where next year, or whenever he's draft eligible, he's going to be coming out and people are going to be like, oh, there's another first rounder, but he only has 3 sacks for Georgia. Guarantee it. So Gabe Harris, Valdosta kid, he could be a guy.
Yep, absolutely. I agree. Hopefully he starts the season healthy, gets all healthy from this shoulder problem that I feel like half of our defense have had labrum tears over this past year. It's something that I've grown quite accustomed to, know pretty well, having that myself. And we can continue on here to Quintavious Johnson. He's going to be more of that stand-up edge, your traditional, like, I don't want to say like a comparison because it's kind of hard to, but more of like a TJ Watt, I guess you would know as a Steelers fan. I'm
Oh,
just trying to find someone who
you're
matches
telling
up.
me Quentin Johnson's going to be TJ Watt? Is that what you said? Can we quote you on that?
Quote me on it. No, don't. But he's going to have that more traditional stand up. I think that's a better way to put it. More of a stand up edge as opposed to in a 3-point stance defensive end. But that's another person that I'm really looking forward to. And you have anything to add on that?
This is more so about Georgia's scheme as a whole, if I'm not mistaken. So we have, I think, your Jack, and I want to say there's another position called Money. Again, I could be wrong on that, but something, the delineation between those, I feel like has something to do with the Jack or the Money or whoever. One of those guys is strictly on the opposite side of where the running back in the backfield lines up. Like, let's say a
Right.
running back is to the left of the quarterback. One of those guys are immediately going to the opposite side or the side of.
Right.
I could have sworn I heard someone talk about that because, again, Jacob. So I think this is important too. So, Jacob, obviously, with you as a supreme ball nerd, you know what a 4-2-5 mint defense is. But
Right.
to maybe the casual that's tuning in, can you kind of break that down in more layman's terms of what exactly a 4-2-5 mint defense is?
It's really just so 4 down linemen is going to be your nose tackle, your defensive tackle, and then your defensive end and Jack are going to be those outside defenders. And then you have your 2 inside linebackers, which are going to be Mike and Will. Those are off-ball linebackers. Think like your traditional like Ray Lewis, Mike linebacker. And then think of defensive end Jack as more of that Terrell Suggs, like the sack guy on the very end of the line of scrimmage. And then the 5 is like you're just going to have your 2 corners. You're going to have a boundary corner and a field corner. Your 2 safeties, just a strong and a free safety. And then you're going to have your star, which is basically a nickel cornerback. So that's basically just saying that our base defense is a nickel package, saying that we have 5 defensive backs in there. As opposed to like you would know as like a regular 4-3 that would have 4 defensive linemen and then 3 off-ball linebackers. And then 2 corners and 2 safeties.
Yes. Growing up and just youth rec football, I feel like everyone just ran that 4-3. You had four
Yeah.
down
Dude, we were in
linemen.
4-4 stack.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Which, I
Yeah.
mean, no wonder you know a bunch about it. You're freaking running 4-4 stacks and probably running bare fronts, whatever the crap you probably ran at your youth, whatever it is.
Exactly. That Sharon Springs ball, man. It's the good
Yeah. Any
stuff.
ball knowers that know the Sharon Springs Midway Park, shout out to you guys.
Absolutely. All right, what about JJ AJ here? It's another tough name, but we've kind of coined a nickname that I like, JJ AJ. He was one of those freshmen that got on the field really early, as we mentioned last year. He's a 5-star defensive end coming out of high school, and he played week 1 against Clemson last year. Showed flashes for the majority of the year last year after ultimately he injured his foot and missed the last couple of weeks of the year, I do believe. And he is also injured for this spring. So that's someone that we won't really be able to check out this upcoming Saturday for G-Day, but someone that we have some high hopes for.
Oh yeah, for sure. And I love whenever we coin nicknames of guys that clearly I know I won't be able to pronounce, and I could just say
Right.
JJA. I like
Yep.
that. And it just rolls off the tongue too.
Yeah.
Yes, JJA, he got some run last year at times just to due to injuries. So that was, I think that's just going to be very good for him and obviously impactful for his development because now he's he's now thrusted into more of that starting role and, you know, rotation, which, I mean, if you're the fourth string at Georgia, then you're going to be playing, as we've said
A
many
lot.
times. So, yeah, exactly. So, JJA, I do believe that the experience that he got last year, that is going to suit him very well in this upcoming year.
Yep, absolutely. All right, let's keep moving on here. Going to Justin Green and Isaiah Gibson. Isaiah Gibson is another one of those five-star defensive line recruits. He's going to be more of your traditional edge defender. Huge. I got a lot to look forward to with this guy. I mean, just big, tall, fast, strong, everything that you would expect from a Georgia defensive lineman.
USC Flip was committed to USC, flipped to
Yep.
Georgia. Like Elijah, or well, no, not Elijah Griffin.
Michael
Who was
Olmert
it?
was.
Elijah. Hold on. I'm brain farting. Who did you just say?
Michael flipped from.
Yeah, Mykel Williams. I could have sworn there was another guy in this class that was like a USC committer. Or no,
Wasn't
maybe I'm
Elijah
thinking.
Griffin linked there for a long time? There was a
I
point in
think
time where I thought we were going to lose both. I don't know if they were both to USC.
I don't think Elijah Griffin was ever committed to USC. Maybe I'm thinking that he was it was us, USC, and Miami. I know
Yeah.
those were his top three, Elijah Griffin at least.
I know Isaiah Gibson and Elijah Griffin went on a visit there together, and that's when Isaiah Gibson committed to USC. So that's when I thought we were gonna maybe lose another one.
Yeah, maybe that's what I'm thinking, but of course, Isaiah Gibson, as you just said, he is Isaiah Gibson and Elijah Griffin. I'm gonna get those names mixed up, I know, because
Know, me
Gibson
too.
Griffin.
Yep.
But these are gonna be two dudes, and these guys are gonna be at Georgia for their whole time together. They're both gonna be first round draft picks as soon as they are draft eligible. You can write that down. That I guarantee it's not a hot take to the people in the Georgia program. So once again, just reloading. Love that. And there's a guy on here that is listed under the defensive end depth chart that is moved here. And I'm very curious as to the reasoning, if we feel like we need the depth or we feel that he is more so suited here, Chris Cole. Because
Yeah.
last year, Chris Cole was playing that, you know, will position. I think he was playing Will or Mike, whichever one. No, he was right next to CJ Allen, so he would have been the Will,
Yep.
potentially. Regardless, whichever one he was, and he seemed to thrive in there because he was making plays, he was covering out of the backfield. Just once again, looks like a super freaky athlete. But now he's moved to the defensive end and kind of following in that Jalen Carter footstep. But now, or not Jalen Carter, Jalen Walker. Are we kind of trying to mold him to be that Jalen Walker where he can do both, or is this going to be a full-time move? That's what I'm curious about.
This is definitely going to be cross training because I also have him. He's definitely going to be our will linebacker too, just right behind Raylan Wilson, pushing him for playing time probably all year like he did last year. Chris Cole is just going to be one of those guys where you have to have him on the field. If you're going to have your 11 best defensive players on the field, you have to think that Chris Cole is going to be there. And I think cross training him as a more of a traditional, just like a pass rusher, I feel like he's going to be, like you said, that Jaden Walker type to where he can play both. I
Jalen
think
Walker.
if he's getting in there on third downs, I mean, with someone with his size and his speed rushing off the edge, he's going to turn up a lot of sacks when it's crunch time.
For sure. And we'll cut this part because I had an awkward pause.
Okay.
No, yeah, for sure. And now, whenever I'm the next position group that I'm seeing that I've got my eyes on, that once again, we associate guys in this room with your Roquans and your, you know, all those amazing players. You got CJ Allen, you got Raylan Wilson. Those guys were linked together in the same recruiting class
Yep.
back for their third years as starting. Because I remember that the freshman year, whenever we had to play pretty much both of them in the SEC championship game against Alabama.
Yeah.
And Raylan Wilson was kind of getting lost on wheel routes. And, you know, CJ Allen was really showing that he is that guy. third year starting for CJ Allen. I'm looking for a Butkus level season out of this dude.
Absolutely. I definitely think he's probably going to be in the preseason watch list for the Butkus. And I wouldn't be surprised if Raylan Wilson is, although he flies a little bit more under the radar because CJ Allen has had more pop, even if most of it was during his freshman campaign. But like you said, it's the three-year plan for most defensive players under Georgia, especially linebackers, where you just have to be so knowledgeable about our defense. Because linebackers, your mic is going to be your play caller. You're calling coverages, defensive line stunts and everything like that, blitzes. CJ Allen's got to be, like you said, that Roquan type of player this year, just essentially going to be the quarterback of your defense. And then Raylan Wilson is honestly probably more of like a freak athlete, more of that Quay Walker mold, like when he was there with, this would be like N'Kobe Dean and Quay Walker. You have CJ Allen, Raylan Wilson, and that kind of goes hand in hand with next on the depth chart with Justin Williams and Chris Cole. If I'm not mistaken, I believe all four of these guys are five-star linebackers and Zayvon. But I expect big, big, big things out of CJ Allen this year. I'm very curious how he molds.
Like you just said, all guys, highly rated dudes. And then another guy that is super highly rated, pretty sure he's the number one linebacker in the 2025 class, that is just right there waiting in the wings, it's Zayden Walker. And that's, again, it's all about duos. It's the CJ Allen, Raylan Wilson. It's Justin Williams, Chris Cole. It's going to be Zayden Walker and Anthony Crua. This Anthony Crua guy, he is interesting to me because, so he was a North Carolina commit, if I'm not mistaken. Flips to Georgia. He's been getting a lot of buzz in the spring. Like, he is just seemingly just physically already, they seem to be, he's more physically put together and just ready to make an impact potentially than they had thought coming into this. So
absolutely. I mean, in terms of muscle mass, he looks like he's the strongest player on the field at all times.
Oh my gosh.
He's just got that just straight up muscle hamster kind of build. He's not the tallest, maybe more comparable to like a N'Kobe Dean, but just with insane muscle definition. Like, this guy does not look like he's from planet Earth.
Whenever his commitment graphic came out for Georgia, I didn't know if this was like a Hayes Fawcett edit thing where his muscles just look crazy and they popped. I don't know if it was the deep fried graphic that he does where it just makes people look like that. But from the reports that we know, like, yeah, he's yoked up.
Yeah, so, he looks like that.
Yeah, he just looks like that.
Yep. And then we don't want to forget about our boy over here, Terrell Foster. I mean, he played a lot in, I wouldn't call it garbage time last year because we didn't have much garbage time, but maybe just like every time he was on the field, he flashed. And he was one of those guys who's like a special teams demon last year. I mean, he's further outside on kickoff and he's just an absolute gunner, just goes down there and cracks everyone that he can find. He's going to definitely find his way, maybe not up the depth chart, because I mean, being a lesser rated recruit, not a bad player by any means, passing up Chris Cole, Justin Williams, Raylan Wilson, and CJ Allen might be impossible, but hopefully we'll have some, at least some mop-up duty time this year to where he's going to see the field with probably Zayden Walker and Anthony Crua alongside of him.
Most definitely. And this linebacker room, it definitely, now that I look at it, seems young, and it's definitely going to have to come into its own. Well, at least the young guys are, because, I mean, CJ Allen, Raylan Wilson, those guys have been there for 3 years. So
right.
Not young.
They can't qualify as young anymore. They got to pick it up fast, and they're going to have to be every down linebackers for us this year.
Oh, yeah. And even Justin Williams and Chris Cole, like after one full year, early enrollees too.
Yep.
Georgia doesn't view them as quote-unquote young guys probably, so I redact what I just said about them being young.
Especially with the new day and age in college football with transfer portal and NIL and all that stuff, these guys are probably pretty high on the payroll. So they're going to find their way into the starting lineup. Maybe not the starting lineup, but on the field. I feel like we're probably going to rotate these four linebackers. We could rotate them like interchangeably. Because I know Chris Cole's played a little bit of Mike, Justin Williams played a little bit of Will, because they're essentially they're like copy and paste of each other. It's kind of weird. Both, I think, high 4 stars or 5 stars in their class. I mean, just essentially interchangeable, just insane athletes that I'm really excited about.
No, yeah, for sure. And you already clicked on it, so we can go ahead and move right into the start position, because this is one of the more important positions. All of them are important,
If
don't get me
not,
wrong.
yeah, if not the most important position.
But this was what your Javon Bullards played. This is what your Tyke
Tyke
Smiths
Smith.
played. Oh yeah. So
Malachi played a little bit of it last year.
exactly. So yeah. What is your take overall on this group?
I mean, we definitely have a solid group here. There's probably looking for a little bit more depth, if I'm being honest. Jonel Aguero coming in. I believe he was a 5-star as well. He was initially recruited as a corner. What this star position is essentially it's a hybrid between corner and safety. You could think of it as a safety that's walked down into the box a little bit more, or just essentially like your slot corner or a nickel corner. So they're going to be taking slot receivers vertically and running with them pretty much all throughout the field. And like you said, this is a very important position because you have to have someone who can play in the box and be a sturdy run defender as a defensive back. But then also, you got to have legs and the fluidity to be able to move with wide receivers all across the field. Because in this day and age in college football, offenses try to spread you out. So this is going to be the position that they're targeting the most, at least when they're throwing the slot receivers.
Oh, exactly. And this position, I think this position has, in terms of the offense that you play, that where this guy kind of it really puts you in a bind and shows you that like, you need to win your one-on-ones. I think against an offense like Tennessee, where they spread you out so much, if your star is not on his game where he can cover that slot receiver guy and he can even come up and get off of the blocks on that outside and come help in the run game, you're gonna have a long day. And that's why that 2022 game against Tennessee, why we had so much success on defense, I believe at least, is because Javon Bullard just had himself a day. And he was, of course, that famous, me and Jacob, we were both at this game when Javon Bullard blitzes off the edge and sacks Hendon Hooker in the rain. Actually, he had 2 sacks in that game, and he
Yes, he should
held.
have.
Yep, he did. Yeah, and he held up in the pass game too. That is the one area of Jonel Aguero's game where he needs to improve upon. And if he can, he's going to find himself in that Bullard realm, because all we hear of Jonel Aguero is that this guy's one of the better run defenders and tacklers in this defensive room as a whole.
Exactly. Like you're saying, he's a very, very solid, sturdy corner. He's kind of more of a thicker body type, not afraid at all to stick his head in there, stick his nose on the ball, just like you said, Javon Bullard. He's even a little bit bigger and probably a little bit more athletically gifted, I'd say, than Javon Bullard. But I mean, he's someone that's going to have to take a big step forward, especially in pass coverage, which I know that seems like kind of a red flag for talking about someone who would be a slot corner. But on obvious running downs, he's going to be an absolute plus one for sure. You'll see him in the backfield, like you said, making sacks, blitzing, and then just the running backs are going to have a hard time getting around this guy. And then we can kind of move on here to Kyren Jones, the player that has really kind of flown under the radar. I believe he started off as a safety, like a true strong safety that has moved down to that star position. What do we got on him?
So yes, he started off safety, moved to star now, but even before that, when he was committed to NC State, he was going there to be a running back. Like
Really?
he was a running back commit, a 3-star guy going to NC State, flips to Georgia, and now he's on the defensive side of the ball. I can't say I know too much about him. I do know, I mean, he's going to have to, at least with the way our defense is now, he's right up there on the depth chart. And, you know, Jonelle Aguero tweaks a hamstring or goes down wrong, he's immediately thrust in that spot where, I mean, maybe potentially we have a corner that could fill in the star role, but he's not too far off from having to play meaningful snaps. So he's going to be a guy on G-Day where the reports we hear and how he performs is going to be very it's going to tell a lot about how much depth we really have on this defense as a whole, and really if we kind of go to the portal.
Exactly. That's kind of what I was thinking. If we would go to the portal for any position, it would be for someone like a star or maybe just another big body defensive end or a jack type. That portal, spring portal window is about to open. I believe it's next Monday or Tuesday. So right after the spring game, with that opportune timing, of course. What about Jaden Harris here? Wasn't he a transfer?
To be honest, we're going to have to do some quick research on this, because if I'm being completely honest, I don't necessarily know.
Yeah, dude, I have no idea. Is.
Once again, we are an honest program. We're getting here telling you we don't know. So we're going to do some quick research here.
Yep, he was Bulldogs at Miami safety Jaden Harris. So we have him cross-training currently at Star and at that safety – at that safety position. I knew we brought in three transfer safeties, which is honestly kind of a lot for one position group.
Oh yeah, I'm just now seeing, yeah, Jaden Harris over there at the safety room.
Exactly. So he's probably more of a, definitely going to be more of a natural safety, but having someone who can cross train at the star position is going to be super important. He's probably going to be more similar to a Jonelle Aguero, where he's a good run defender, having played safety and having to play in the box sometimes. That usually translates well to the star position. But we can go ahead and talk about some players that we are more familiar with, being the corners, Daylon Everett and Daniel Harris. What's your takes on these?
Daylon Everett was a guy that he was the scapegoat, honestly, for a long time. And any Georgia fan knows that he got lit up by the fans about how he can't cover and this, that, and the other. And, you know, here, I'm here to admit, I fell victim to this. We all have.
I did too.
Yep, where he was always right there with his coverage, but he could never make the play on the ball. And it was the most frustrating thing ever, because you knew he had the talent. Because at the end of the day, the hard part's staying in front of him. You did the hard part. You just got to make a play on the ball and just knock it out of his hands or intercept it. He took a big step last year, and he emerged as our number one corner. And there were potentially talks of him going into the draft. And I'm not too sure what his grade was, but I assume it wasn't to what he wants, because he is coming back, and I assume NIL had a good portion of that to do with that. But he is – I'm looking for him to be that – now, again, not necessarily on like Kamari Lassiter level, but in that realm of – I just need you to be slightly better than you were last year, and I need you to be our number one guy, and I need to be confident that any given Saturday, that side of the field, they ain't getting much. That's what I want to see out of him and his development.
That is a lot of what we saw from him last year. He definitely broke out last year, had a couple of great games, specifically against Texas. I mean, I think he had, what was it, three picks in two games against Texas?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. He's going to be a guy this year for sure. I would not be surprised if he's a first or high second round pick coming out of the draft next year. Because I was very surprised when he said he was coming back for his senior year at Georgia. Obviously, super excited about it, because in my eyes, he was a surefire, at least day two draft selection. So with him, and then the big question is right now is who's going to play opposite side of him, because he is cemented in as that CB1, and he is also, we see here, he's got that injury designation. He's dealing with a sports hernia from last year, and so he's going to be out this spring. So looking at these corners right here, we have Daniel Harris, Ellis Robinson, and DeMello Jones. Everything that I've seen is all in this spring practice. They're all pretty much equally splitting reps. So they're taking over Dalen Everett's reps while he's injured and then playing that opposite side as well. I know we saw a lot of Daniel Harris last year. He's someone that also seemingly broke out after the Texas game, I think. That was Julian Humphrey's last game that he started and the first Texas game. And from that first Texas game on, I believe it was Daniel Harris and Dalen Everett just kind of locking up the boundaries. I mean, Daniel Harris is exactly how you would build a create a player corner in Madden or College Football 25. I mean, he's like every bit of 6'3, 205 pounds, extremely fast, can run with anyone down the field. It's just kind of that flipping the hips and running with the receivers that can almost get him tripped up over his own feet. But he's someone that I expect to win this job, at least in the beginning, but followed shortly behind by both Ellis Robinson and DeMelo Jones.
Yeah, and this could almost be a situation where Daniel Harris can get done to him what Julian Humphrey got done to him last year,
By
where
Daniel
it,
Harris. Yeah.
yeah, by Daniel Harris himself. Because Daniel Harris was, when we recruited him, he was originally committed to us, decommitted, was heavily predicted that he was going to go to Penn State, but then very last second commits to Georgia, back to Georgia. And I believe he was a portal scare along with Julian Humphrey sometime. He's always been a guy that was a risk of a portal scare. It was either going to be Julian Humphrey or Daniel Harris that were going to enter the portal, whoever lost that job. And I could see a situation here with the same because you got Ellis Robinson, you got DeMelo Jones, two very promising corners. And Ellis Robinson is the player that is going to get the most looks and the most hype in terms of potentially overtaking him and getting more playing time. But don't sleep on DeMelo Jones. This guy has
Absolutely.
been getting so much praise and hype out of spring. He's been one of the more, I didn't, not that I didn't expect him to do well, but I thought all of the rave was just going to be Ellis Robinson's this, Ellis Robinson's that. And to an extent, we have had that, but DeMelo Jones is making it very hard on this coaching staff to forget about him. And DeMelo Jones, he went to Swainsboro, I want to say. And I remember watching him in the state championship game. He won state his senior year. He was looking very Travis Hunter-esque in that game because he was playing receiver. He was scoring the touchdowns, pick sixes, all this. And I mean, he's a guy that I am looking at and seeing if he does end up becoming that immediate. I don't know about this year, but he could. Again, we're just going to have to see.
Absolutely. Yeah, it might be the purest athlete in the room. I know we've heard a lot about Ellis Robinson this spring. I know I watched the Noah Thomas, our transfer wide receiver, had press availability the other day, and they asked him like, which of the corners are you matched up against the most, and what have you seen out of them? He was like, me and Ellis just go one on one every day, pretty much all day long. He said he's going to be a special player. We're looking forward to what he has to bring to the table this fall. He's definitely going to push Daniel Harris for sure. And usually, corners not necessarily a spot where UGA rotates a lot like they do in the linebacker room and the defensive end room. But I would not be surprised if these are played more as situational corners, whether it be any of these three right here. Maybe obvious passing downs. You have Ellis Robinson in. You put Daniel Harris in there for some run support with him being a big, big body on the edge. But I mean, it's not saying Ellis Robinson's small. I mean, he is almost a perfectly built out corner. I'm just really high on this room, all in all, in total.
No, yeah, for sure. And I'm looking up Ellis Robinson's measurables too, because he's almost similar in that you would build, and yeah, six, and he's listed as 6'1", 180, which I would imagine he's definitely gained a little bit.
Probably.
His wingspan too, like his arms almost go down to like the bottom of his knees almost. Like when I see Ellis Robinson, just whenever we were recruiting him and I saw the graphics of him, and it just looks like a, which
Him
you want that
blocking
as a.
Jeremiah Smith and the 7-on-7s.
Oh, dude, that was That was amazing. And that just duo of Jeremiah Smith and Ellis Robinson going at it. I'm not a big fan of the whole 7-on-7 circuit as a whole and what it's become, but having those guys go at it, I'm all for that. Those two highly rated and just great players.
Absolutely. I mean, if Ellis Robinson can turn into this type of corner where you follow the number one receiver around all over the field, I don't think Georgia usually plays it like that. We usually have someone who plays the field side and someone who plays the boundary side. But I mean, towards the end of Kamari Lassiter's career, he was someone that rotated in all three positions, the star, boundary corner, and somewhat of a like a field corner, and just kind of just took away everyone.
Exactly. And we see Ellis Robinson eventually being that in the how we see Dalen Everett right now. If we need you to lock down this side of the field, we hope that Ellis Robinson, and how highly touted he was and how much we wanted him, that he becomes that.
Absolutely. All right, let's segue in over to the safeties here. One of the brightest spots on the defense last year, especially from a freshman. I mean, first-team freshman All-American, started playing week one in the Clemson game. KJ Bolden is going to be that traditional free safety. He's going to take over more of what Malachi Starks was his freshman and sophomore year, where he was just like center field, free safety, deep as the deepest, wide as the widest. Like, nobody's going to get past him. I'm super excited to see what KJ's got coming for us this year.
There's not much that I can say that hasn't already been said about KJ Bolden and what we know that he's can be and probably is going to be. He's just going to be another one of the great ones, that Malachi Starks-esque. And quarterbacks, you could try to, you could throw over his way, like, if you want to, but that, I just don't think that'll be very smart. And he can stick you in the run game. He may not be the biggest in terms of weight and even height. I don't know his height exactly, but he came up and he sticked a Clemson tight end, Bringenstuhl, I want to say, 6'6", 230 tight end, and he just laid him out in the Clemson game. That was when I knew we had a guy.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, if that deep free safety, you just need him to be a shirt tackler. Doesn't matter if it looks ugly, looks pretty, if he lays the wood or is an ankle grabber. If he gets him to the ground, that's really all that you need. The biggest question in this room for me is who is going to play alongside of KJ? Because you can cement him in there, like you said, as one of the greats, going to be Malachi Starks-esque for just a recent one to the memory. What about this strong safety? Right now, it's looking like it has to go to Ja'Cory Thomas because all three of these guys are transfers. So Ja'Cory Thomas has been with the program, knows the playbook. And likely if, say, G-Day was a real game, it would be Ja'Cory Thomas out there playing strong and KJ Bolden at free safety. But I don't really know what's going to go on here in the strong safety room. We've heard a lot of good things about Zion Branch being Zachariah's brother and coming transferring over from USC. He's definitely a bigger body type for a safety, which is honestly what you'd like with KJ Bolden being more on the slender side. I know he's put on some weight this offseason for sure, but you essentially want to pair like a good solid center field free safety with a bigger type of strong safety, or someone like Javon Bullard, who is known to come up and stick people.
Yes, and Jacob, I want to sit here and say that I'm confident that, oh yeah, for sure, Ja'Cory Thomas is going to be that guy that's going to cement it. But at the end of the day, when Georgia goes that heavy in the portal for that specific position, then you just have to assume that they think that they either A, need to push Ja'Cory Thomas with some competition behind him, or B, they're bringing in people that they believe they actually want to overtake him. And the spring is really their way of, like, he's learning the playbook and the defense itself. So then come the season, or maybe midway through the season, they can step into that role. And let's say, for the sake of argument, that is the case, that we brought these guys in, Zion Branch and Adrian Maddox and Jaden Harris, because we don't really see Ja'Cory Thomas being that guy. Then at that point, it's, shoot, you got three guys right there. Who's it going to be?
Right.
Adrian Maddox, I've heard a lot of good things out of. Mm-hmm. If I know that he's an aggressive, like you said, like that run defender, like come up and stick you. I believe Adrian Maddox has those qualities. And like you said, Zion Branch, he has that big body and more of that traditional safety body. And then Jaden Harris, obviously going to be rotating in at star potentially if Jonel Aguero, and they need more depth in that piece. So overall, right, that's going to be something that the coaching staff's going to have to figure out. And once again, it's a good problem to have. If you just have all these guys and you don't know who to play, it beats the latter of not knowing if you're going to be able to have somebody.
Absolutely. Yeah. There's a lot of gray area here in terms of position. So, I mean, not all three of these guys are going to only play strong safety. Like, KJ is going to need a breather every now and then. God forbid KJ gets hurt. Someone else is going to have to know how to play free safety. So I would say one of these guys, now I have no idea which one, will be at least rotating in for reps during the spring game with KJ at that free safety position. But you'd have to think that Ja'Cory Thomas is going to get the majority of the first team reps this spring, and he's really going to have to bring it. He's going to have to show what he's all about. He'd prove everyone wrong why we brought in so many transfers. But I definitely think that Zion Branch is going to be competing for that role alongside of KJ. And then Adrian Maddox as well. I believe he was a slightly bigger body type too, coming out of UAB, I believe, playing mm-hmm. that strong safety role. And then Jaden Harris seems to be, like, he's going to be more of a coverage guy. But like we said, I really don't know. Got to get out there and see these guys actually play.
Yeah. Adrian Maddox on 24/7 at least is listed as 6'1", 200. So
yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, definitely that bigger esque body type. So
right.